Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Our rebuild does feel like a fresh start, doesn't it, for us as a church? This is a great gospel resource, a great home for our church family, and a great mission center for us. It feels like a new season. And what we want to do today and the next couple of Sundays is to just press pause, really, and do a bit of a reset. I'm going to speak theoretically now about sports exercise. I wish it was a bit more in practice, but here we go. In sports exercise training, they do something called a strategic reset. It's rethinking training goals. So coaches and athletes use a reset to reassess training plans, especially after maybe a plateau in someone's performance or burnout or injury, but also at the start of a new season. The idea is to kind of revisit goals, shape training regimes and intensity, look at nutrition and diet, and really refresh those goals to align them with current capacity that might have changed and opportunities. It's kind of clarifying focus. So for us as Binscombe Church today, start of a new season, we're going to do a bit of a strategic reset. That is our plan, to revisit our goals. And this is really, really important. It's important because there is so much potential and there's so many different things that we could do, both in terms of this being a home for our church family, in terms of being a mission center, but it would be easy to lose our way with lots of good things rather than the best things. There's a difference between those two. It would be easy for us to lose clear gospel distinctives. So this strategic reset, the idea is to kind of revisit our goals, to clarify our focus in the book of Romans. And we're going to look over the next three Sundays at these three things. So what is God's gospel? What is God's church next Sunday? And then what is God's mission? There's our plan for the next three weeks. Today, we're looking at what is God's gospel? What is God's gospel? Let's get a bit of context. So, the city of Rome Paul wrote to Roman Christians there around 57 AD. And Rome back then was regarded as a world-class city, a bit like London or New York is today. The people of Rome were very proud of their city. So here's some classic things they would call it. It is the eternal city, a place of peace, the fount of law, the center of civilization, the mecca of poets, crafts, and artists. It was also the home of every kind of idolatrous worship. It's a very pluralistic society. And yet God has his people there. And Paul is writing. And Paul wants them to be very, very clear on God's gospel. What is God's gospel? So you walk into work tomorrow morning, you walk into school, in your family, and someone says to you, well, what is the gospel? What do you say? How do you answer that question? Romans is the fullest explanation of the gospel in the whole of the Bible. And what we've got in chapter 1, verse 1 to 17 is, if you like, the headlines. And we're going to look at six things. You've got to hold on to your seats. This is quick fire this morning. We're not going to spend too long on each point. But six things I think we see in these first 17 verses. Here we go. Here's our first one. What is God's gospel? Firstly, it is good news. It's good news. Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Our news is typically full of bad news. I was writing this on Thursday, and just here's BBC headlines on Thursday. We have an article on the grooming inquiry. There's an article on Strictly as to whether Claudia Winkleman and Tess Daly, that they're leaving. I'm not sure that's good or bad news, depending on your thoughts. But anyway, the rest, it is bad news, isn't it? So Southport killer, one on that. There's Ukraine war, there's corrupt police, there's Bloody Sunday murder trials. That was just a snapshot from Thursday of headlines. And it's interesting, isn't it, the good news stories don't tend to be quite as popular and as read. But God's gospel, it is good news. It's good news for the world. The truth is, our world is blighted by bad news. It is everywhere we look. Everywhere we look is tainted by sadness, by brokenness, by sin. And so we need news from outside of our world to speak into our world, to make sense of our world. And so at the start of this new season, as we press reset, verse 1, we have the gospel of God. And the word gospel means, literally means, good news. That's the word gospel means in the original Greek. And so here is hope for our world. And it speaks into a world that is weighed down by sadness, by brokenness, by bad news. See, the thing is, if we just look horizontally around us, we will despair. But if we look vertically as well, and we listen to a voice from outside of our world coming into our world, well, then there is hope. There's hope. There is good news. It's our first thing. Secondly, what is God's gospel? It is long promised. It is long promised. Have a look at verse 2. By the way, it's important we see, I hope you've got a Bible open or an app open with a Bible. It's important you see that what I'm saying comes from God's word. So do have a look down. Verse 2, the gospel that God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The gospel is not new. It is not novel. It is ancient. It is time-tested. It is there in the Holy Scriptures. He's referring there to the Old Testament. In fact, right from the beginning of time, there was hope promised. The gospel. Back in Eden, when Adam and Eve fell and rebelled against God, God promised one who would crush the serpent, crush the enemy, crush all evil. And over the centuries, the prophets prophesied hope for a sad, broken, and sinful world. I wonder how you read, if you read the Old Testament, how you read the Old Testament. I hope it's not, you know, God was rather cross in the Old Testament, he cheered up in the New. It's a horrible view of the Bible. It's not true. God is the same God throughout the whole of the Bible. It's a kind of, there are two halves, but it's one story. It's one love story. And I almost want to say to you, open your Bible and tear out that blank page in the middle between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is one story, goes all the way through. And the way it works is like this, is how they fit. The Old Testament is promise of a Savior, all the way through. And the New Testament is fulfillment. That's how we see that fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in God's gospel, we have something that stretches back right to the beginning of time. It stood the test of time. Seasons come, seasons go. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. And rise and fall. But as we reset this morning, we need to know that we are connected. We're connected to ancient truth that transcends human culture, changing fashions and trends. The Old Testament is the Bible Jesus loved. And he said about the Bible that all scripture speaks of me, testifies to me. It's the promise of good news. And that brings us on to our next point about the gospel here in Romans 1. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Have a look at verse 3. Verse 3 of Romans 1 says this. It's regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of God, is the good news. He is the good news of God. I wonder if you believe that today, that Jesus is good news. See, the thing is, all that we see as we look around, it is tainted by sadness, by brokenness, by sin. And we need news from outside of our world to make sense of our world. But what if someone came from outside of our world to make sense of our world? Well, Jesus is that person. Truly human. It says in the verse here, in terms of his earthly life, he was a descendant of King David, the greatest king of Israel. And this Christmas, we'll celebrate that. Back in the first century, Jesus miraculously conceived the Virgin Mary, born into our world, born into obscurity, growing up in Palestine in obscurity, age 30. He becomes known to the world, living a Holy Spirit-powered life. Miracles are performed, wonderful teaching. He was arrested. He was crucified by the Romans. 3 days later, death was reversed. Verse 4 says, through the spirit of holiness, he was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. It's not that before the resurrection he wasn't the Son of God. It's just that was the resurrection showed that particularly. So he's human, he is God. And here's why Jesus is the good news of God. You see, as a descendant of David, he was human. He suffered just like we do. He knew sadness, he knew brokenness, but he came to deal with our sin, the very thing that causes that sadness, that brokenness. And he does that through his loving death on the cross. And his resurrection has begun the reverse of all that is broken. In Jesus' resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit began to be shown at a whole new level. It's a foretaste of the resurrection power of the age to come, the new creation. So Jesus rose with an invincible body for the age to come, powerful over illness, over decay, over death. That's why he's declared
with the Spirit of Holiness to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Let's have a look at verse 5. Jesus is called there. He is at the end there of verse 5. Jesus, that frail first century man, Christ, the promised Messiah, our Lord. He is the risen, the supreme, the loving, eternal ruler of the universe. And so as we press reset this morning, we need to know that the gospel, it is all about Jesus. It's all about him. It is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ that transformed the first century world. Had that never happened, Christianity would never have flown. Would never have got off the starting blocks. But today, billions follow him. Let me quote an overquoted person. So this is Napoleon, 19th century French emperor. And this is how he very famously compared his empire to Jesus' empire. He says this, "Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions will die for him." That was true back then in the 19th century. It's true today, even more so today. It's all about Jesus. So that many follow him today, and that's our next point, is simply this. The gospel, what is it? It is for everyone. It is for everyone. This is verses 5 to 15. It really is. So think of this. Every single person who has ever lived, every single person who will live, every baby is born, every person throughout the whole of the world, throughout the whole of history, every person you have ever locked eyes with. Now remember, that the good news came from the Jewish nation. Jesus was a Jew. He was born into the world a Jew. And yet he came for the whole world. He came for Jews and Gentiles. And we get a feel for that as Paul talks in verse 5. Have a look down at verse 5. He says, "Through Jesus Christ, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles." That is code for the world, the whole world. "To the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also among the Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ." We're gonna skim over some verses here, but just to kind of so we know where this is going. Verses 7 and 8, have a look down at that. Paul is just really addressing the Christians in Rome. He's thanking God that their faith had become world famous. People heard about their faith. He's writing most likely from his third mission trip from Corinth. He stayed 3 months over in Corinth, and he's writing this letter from there. And in verses 9 and 10, he's saying, look, I'm praying that I can come and visit you guys in Rome as well. And he says why in verses 11 and 12. He says, I want to strengthen you. Your young Christians want to strengthen your faith. And in verses 11 to 13, he assures them. He says, look, I've tried to visit you time and again, but I've been prevented from doing that. Have a look at verse 14. Verse 14, we get Paul's heart. He says this, "I am obligated both," well, and that means I'm indebted to, "both Greeks and to non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome." What is he saying? What is going on there? Well, imagine this. Imagine a friend of yours gives me £1,000 to give to you. Okay, so a friend of yours gives me £1,000 to pass on to you. Now, all the while I've got that £1,000, I am indebted to you. I have something that's not actually mine. It is yours. It's for you. And I'm indebted to you all the while that is in my pocket. It's probably in a bank. It's a lot to carry in your pocket. And Paul's saying this. Look, Jesus, here's his point. Jesus has entrusted me with the priceless gospel of God. And that is for the world. and I am indebted until I hand it over, until I pass it on. And in verse 14, that sense of indebtedness, you can see there, it is to all types of people, all nationalities or social class. For there is to be no racism and no classism in Jesus' church. Jesus is for all. He is for Brits. He is for others, for the nations. He is for the poor. He is for the rich and all in between. So look, as we reset today, like the Apostle Paul, we have been entrusted with the gospel of God. If you're a Christian this morning, you are entrusted with the gospel. We too are indebted. We are indebted to the world. I wonder if that's how you walk into your school or your workplace, or how you relate to friends and family or neighbors. I'm indebted to these people. I've been entrusted with priceless, eternal treasure that can save them for all eternity. They need this. I'm indebted. The gospel of God that Jesus has given has come to us. We have no liberty to keep it to ourselves. This is good news, and it is so good. It is for sharing. It is for the world. I wonder, who could you share the gospel with this week? Maybe that's something to pray about on the back of this morning. Who could I talk to about Jesus? Now, maybe that's something you just feel shy about. Maybe you feel intimidated by our secular culture that doesn't like talking about faith particularly. And particularly if you're going, what about considering Jesus and becoming a Christian? Maybe you fear for your reputation, fear ridicule, fear hostility for doing that very basic loving thing and just open-minded thing to talk about where we're coming from, what we believe. But think of this. Here's our fifth point. What is the gospel? It is saving power. It is saving power. Have a look at verse 16. Paul says, and it's an interesting thing to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why is that an interesting thing to say, an interesting way to put it? Well, someone has said this, there is no reason in declaring that you're not ashamed of something unless you've been tempted to feel ashamed of it. So anyway, that sentence makes sense. So there's no sense in declaring that you're not ashamed of the gospel of something unless you've been tempted to feel ashamed of it. And the Apostle Paul had reason to be tempted to be ashamed of the gospel. Rome was a very impressive place. It was the seat of imperial power and might and pride. It was a world tourist destination. The games were notorious and were famous the world over. And no doubt the people there, maybe the church members there, were sophisticated city types. Who was Paul to think he should go to Rome? Not as an awestruck tourist, but with good news that Rome needed. Surely Rome was the good news. And maybe you feel like that about sharing your faith. The world around you, the Surrey affluent life, feels like the good news. And whether you're coming at that from a point of, actually, I'm enjoying that at the moment, or I aspire to that. And we might be thinking, well, who am I to kind of say that I have good news that people need? Seems a bit presumptuous, doesn't it? How do you feel about that as you think about your workplace, your school, your family? Going back to Paul, the other thing about him, interestingly, was that traditionally it's thought that Paul was physically uninspiring and not a great, impressive speaker. Surely it was better for him to just keep quiet about the gospel of God rather than get laughed at or cancelled or run out of town. Maybe that's how you feel. You're just not very cool. Most of us aren't really, are we? We're pretty ordinary. You're just not in the in crowd. You fear rejection. Well, as we reset this morning, let's have confidence How did the Apostle Paul, how should we beat this temptation to feel ashamed of the gospel? Well, here's how. It's by remembering what the gospel is and what the gospel does. Look at verse 16. The very message of the gospel seems weak. It seems weak, even foolish to the world around. But here's what it is. Verse 16, it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Let me tell a story that I think I might have told before, but I want to add to it a bit. We've got friends, we've got a number of kids, and we've seen them grow up, we've kind of shared each other's journey quite a lot. And one of their sons particularly went way off the rails. Was brought up in a Christian home to read the Bible, go to church, and by kind of late teens, he was living a pretty reckless life with both drink and with girls. Anyway, it came to a point about a year and a half ago where he split up with his girlfriend, came to a really low point. And the other Christmas, he was with a Christian friend. They were watching, as it happens, Deck the Halls. Remember that film, Deck the Halls? It's where they got two neighbors and they're competing for the best Christmas decorations. It's crazy comedy. It's a good film. In the middle of the film, the Christian guy says to him, what they need to be happy is Jesus. And this guy sits and he goes, that's it. And it really gets to his heart. And God used that throwaway comment in the middle of a film. He starts seeking God. He ends up starting going to a different local church in their town. Goes on a kind of exploring faith kind of course. And his life gets totally transformed. About a year and a half ago, he got baptized. And we're talking to him soon afterwards. And he was just loving Christ and going, I want to tell my friends about Jesus. I want to go to heaven. When's Jesus coming back again? Just complete change of person. The power of God that brings salvation. But then that's not the end of the story. So he's got cousins similar age. One of his cousins, similar story, gone off the rails. Similar Christian upbringing, gone off the rails. And sees this guy come to faith. And we suddenly start hearing he's going to church. And, I don't know, 8 months ago, he got baptized, professing faith. And then he's got a brother, similar story, gone off the rails, turned away from Christ. And he sees the change in his cousin and his brother. And I think it was a month ago, he got baptized. That is the power of God, to turn lives around. People who are the last people I would have imagined, I knew them well, coming to faith. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And it is salvation, think of it, for all eternity. You cannot put a price on it. People who are rescued from eternal hell for eternal heaven. That is what we're talking about. People who are happy in Christ for all eternity, with resurrection bodies and a new creation. But look, how? How is the gospel the power of God that brings salvation to those who believe? Here's our last point this morning. What is the gospel? It is God's righteousness revealed. Have a look at verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, what does that mean? Let me ask you a question. What would happen if you jumped in a spaceship and you flew to the sun? Let's imagine you had a really big fuel tank, because you'd run out of fuel, you wouldn't get there. But let's imagine you had a really big fuel tank. My illustration breaks down there. At some point, you would be part of fried spaceship, right? It would just fry. You can't get to the sun. It's just too hot. You can't approach the sun. And that's like our relationship with God. We were made for God, but we can no more approach him than fly to the sun. simply because of who God is, his very character that is infinitely pure and is infinitely holy. So we have a problem. Because we rebel against God's good rule. That is in our sinful nature. We want to be gods in God's world. We want to call the shots. We don't want God to tell us what to do. And because God is holy, he cannot tolerate sin. We cannot approach God with sin on our hands and in our hearts. There is no hope. What if you feel that? Apart from Jesus, there is hope in him. Here is how the gospel of God is, in fact, the power to save, so we can approach God. Here's how it works. Jesus never sinned. He came into our world. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross for sinners, taking the holy and the just wrath of the Father that we deserve. So today, if we turn from our sin of living in God's world as though we're God, and put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him alone to save us, that is how our sin gets taken away, forgiven. But more than that, that is how God then sees us as righteous before him. Not only is our sin taken away, the righteousness of Jesus is given to us so that we're right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder if you see that this morning. I wonder if you've put your faith in Christ. Maybe that seems too simple. I mean, it is simple, but it is totally life-changing. Because as you do that, you give your life to him. You say, Jesus, I am yours. I want to go your way. I want you to come in and rule my heart. Help me to live a life that's trusting in you, relying on you, trusting you. That is how you get right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the glory of the gospel of God. It's through faith alone. I wonder if that's you today. You're putting your faith in Jesus. So at the start of this new season, here's our kind of strategic reset for us. There are so many things as a church that we could do, so many good things, and we could easily lose our way. So what is our goal? What are we about as a church? Well, Romans helps us here. We have the gospel of God. And that is God's righteousness revealed. Our response should be one of faith, faith alone in him for our salvation. And it should be a response of confidence, knowing that the gospel has saving power. Let's trust in God. Let's have confidence in him to do his work in our lives, in the lives of our friends and our family. It is for everyone. That means we should have this sense of indebtedness to the people in our lives. And it's all about Jesus. Let's keep him central. It's all about him. It's for his glory. It's for his fame. It's a long promise. That connects us. This is not novel. This is not new. We are grounded. We have the weight of history behind us. And it is good news. In a world that is broken, sad, sinful, we have hope for people around us. This is the gospel of God.